Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Congratulations to each and every one of you on the blessed occasion of the birth of Imam al-Hasan salawatullah wa salamuhu alayh. And inshallah, this time next year, all of us can be in Jannat al-Baqi' in the land of Medina, next to his blessed grave and the grave of his grandfather Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alih. One salient feature of the life of Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam was, of course, his leadership. And I thought tonight, in honor of Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam, we would look at leadership in the Holy Quran. There are many conferences in the world today which are organized for people together, has always aspired to one day be a great leader. You could be the captain of your local football club amongst, for example, 22 players on a football pitch, and you seek to be some sort of leader. You could be the leader of your team at work, or you could also take up the leadership position in your community, and if you're fortunate, or in some cases unfortunate, you may become leader of your country. So what you therefore find is that each and every one of us looks for certain characteristics, either within ourselves or in people around us, as to how we can become leaders. Yasser has the potential of being a leader one day. In his young age, he may already be exhibiting certain attributes. But so do all of you listeners at home, young and old. Each and every one of us has a chance to be a leader, even if it's just a leader of a household or the leader of our local community. But we know that in our lifetime, we've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly when it comes to leaders. I'm sure you'll all agree. Because a leader can make or break their nation. You may have certain leaders who you really look up to and you admire. And then you may have other leaders you can't believe how people voted them in. And we've seen all of them. I could say that I may have not reached the age of 40 yet, but in my 30s, I've certainly seen enough on this earth of leaders who I've looked up to, leaders who've inspired me, and leaders who I cannot believe how mankind looked at them to lead them towards prosperity. And I think the Quran is a wonderful manual for a person who wants to become a leader. And what we're lacking in the Muslim world, and I don't know how many of the viewers at home agree with me, is that we're lacking courses or institutes for the development of leadership. Because if I was to ask you, what leadership skills would you want to attain, or what attributes would you look for in a leader, where would be the first port of call for you? Which personalities would you straight away go to as being the greatest leaders? Who would you go to straight away? You would go to the prophets of God. And ultimately, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, his family. Because you've got these books which are sometimes written, the 100 most influential men. It's not saying the 100 greatest men, most influential. And you always find that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, is at the top of that list. But there have been other great leaders in the Quran. And sometimes, just sometimes, be they male or be they female, there are certain unique salient points in their leadership that you can take and apply to your life when you want to become a leader. Yes, there are certain points which we all recognize straight away what a good leader should be like. But there's other points which you'll find within the Quran where you look at these salient points and they make a huge difference to the success of that personality. Because when I look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family, what was it about his life? What moments in the Quran do you see either God guiding his leadership? At the end of the day, the prophets or the imams are those chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continuously is helping them develop on their leadership course. One may argue that the Quran allows you to see the growth of each and every one of these leaders. And so if I was to look at Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam, or I look at Nabi Dawood alayhi salam, or I look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, I see people who led their state. Do you agree? But I also find great leadership moments in the like of Nabi Isa alayhi salam. So Nabi Isa alayhi salam, one may argue, never really was a political leader, but there could be an attribute of Nabi Isa's life
where I look at it and I'm like, ah, that's a leadership moment there. So therefore, when you look in the Quran, what I wish more people could do PhDs on are conception or paradigms of leadership in the Quran. What are the different paradigms of leadership that we witness in the Quran? What are the different attributes that would make me lead? Because if tomorrow you were told that, listen, you're going to be president of your local mosque, these are the attributes that are vital in your success. And some of these attributes are attributes which we're lacking in the world today. Because one may argue that in some countries in the world today, if not many, there's a crisis of moral leadership. There's leaders. There always will be. God, from the beginning of the Quran, as we discussed a couple of nights ago, he said, "Inni ja'alun fil ardi." I have appointed a caliph, a representative, a leader on the earth. There's always going to be leaders. But sometimes, just sometimes, you look at some leaders who put you off. You look at others who make you feel disgruntled. And sometimes when you look within the Quran, there are certain secrets as to which points are needed for leadership to be successful. Now, first and foremost, the Quran makes something clear. Not all of us are going to lead. Let's make that clear. There are some people who are born to lead. Some are born to lead in the religious field. Doesn't mean they're not born to lead in the business field. How many business conferences and leadership conferences do you see which people pay thousands to go to listen to motivational speakers about leadership? And in the Quran, right from the outset, the first point I'd like to make is that God also makes it clear. There are some we raised in status above others. However, that doesn't mean that some of you cannot be the contributing factor of leadership to other people in different areas. Look in Surah 43 of the Quran, all of our dear viewers at home, Surah 43 of the Quran. Tonight, my dear brothers and sisters, we're going to be flicking from Surah to Surah to Surah to Surah to Surah to Surah. You'll feel like you'll finish the whole Quran. Surah 43, verse 32 of the Holy Quran, Surah Az-Zukhruf. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ahum yaqsimuna rahmat rabbik. Are they the ones who distribute the mercy of your Lord? Nahnu qasamna baynahum ma'ishatahum. We are the ones who distribute amongst them even their livelihood, their ma'isha, their isha. We're the ones who are the ones who distribute it. Fil hayati dunya, in this world. Wa rafa'na ba'dahum fawqa ba'dhin darajatin. And there are some who we raised above others in rank. Liyattakhidha ba'dhum ba'dhan sukhriya. So that what happens, some of them may take the others in subjection. When prophets of Allah are appointed, they're all leaders, but some are raised above others. Do you agree? Is there a prophet higher than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi? No. But these prophets are all divinely appointed. Then there are others who may become leaders, who even when they achieve great wealth in their leadership, they're leaders and they're vital that they lead others. Because you'll find that if, for example, someone is a leader of a certain country, he needs people under him who he employs. Then that person employs others. Then that person employs others. Otherwise, how does the rizq get distributed? At the end of the day, my problem isn't when people reach leadership. There's no issue with that. At the end of the day, part of it is there's a hierarchy. God has raised some above others. God has helped others excel above others. But ultimately, God distributes His mercy. Therefore, there are different levels of mercy. You find in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in Surah 17, verse 71, He tells us, we're going to raise you. With who? With your leaders. In Surah 17, verse number 71, it's vital that we think of which leaders we take as our leaders. Ultimately, those leaders could be the reason of our success or the reason of our failures. In Surah 17, verse number 71 of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَوْمَ نَجْعُ كُلَّ أُنَاسٍ بِإِمَامِهِمْ. On the day of judgment, we'll call everybody with what? We'll call everybody with their imam. Therefore, leadership is so important that not only have some been favored above others, not only have some excelled above others, but that on the day of judgment, the leader is so important that God says, يَوْمَ نَدْعُ كُلَّ أُنَاسٍ بِإِمَامِهِمْ. We will call everyone with their imam. Whether it's in the time of Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam, or in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, or in the time of any prophet, you're going to be asked about who you took as your leader. If there is someone of the infallibles present, then yes. If not, then who have I taken as my leader? Who have I taken as my guide? Have I taken somebody of double standards? Have I taken somebody of respect? Have I taken somebody of honor? When the Quran said, يَوْمَ نَدْعُ كُلَّ أُنَاسٍ بِإِمَامِهِمْ, one group said, the Imam is the Quran. We'll call you all with your book, for example. But the reality is, Imam being someone amam, ahead of you, someone guiding you, someone leading you, the Quran said, beware, for we'll call everyone with their leader that they've chosen. Now, let's go to attributes in the Quran. The first thing you always notice in the Quran when it wants to discuss the attributes of a leader is that the Quran wants to make it clear, first and foremost, leadership is a test from God. Sometimes becoming a leader is a major test. Sometimes becoming a leader is a grace from God. You look in the Quran, there are some who saw their leadership as a test from God. Because you know, sometimes you become a leader of your community, you don't realize that this may actually be your test. Health, brilliant. Wealth, fantastic. Kids, done. Family, done. University, done. So what's my test? Your test is I've given you leadership. Look in the Quran in Surah 27. There's this wonderful ayah in Surah 27, verse number 40 of the Quran, where literally leadership is described as being a major test. And I'm sure some of you who've been leaders will definitely be able to relate to this. In Surah 27, verse number 40 of the Holy Quran, you see, there is this line where Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam has asked for the Queen of Sheba's throne to be brought to him. One of the jinn says, I'll bring it to you before you get up from your place. Meaning, if you go to work at 9 a.m. and you get up at what time? Or you leave work at midday, I'll make sure that her throne is there before you've got up. Then suddenly, قال الذي عنده what? علم من الكتاب. One of the ones who had some knowledge of the book by the name of Asif bin Barkhiya. أنا آتيك به قبل أن يرتد إليك طرفك. I'll bring you the Queen of Sheba's throne before you even blink. This is the knowledge which Allah gives some of His servants. Ilm la dunni, we may call it. Some might talk of the knowledge of kun fayakun. Her throne is all the way across the other side of the world. He says, I'll bring it to you before you blink, in front of it. فَلَمَّا رَآهُ مُسْتَقِرًا عِنْدَهُ. What did he say? قَالَ هَذَا مِنْ فَضْلِ رَبِّي. When he saw it in front of him, Sulaiman alayhi salam said, this is from what? The grace of my Lord. Then what? لِيَبْلُوَنِي أَأَشْكُرُ أَمْ أَكْفُرُ. Allah. This is from the grace of my Lord to test me whether I'm grateful or ungrateful. There are certain people when they come into leadership, they straight away realize. What do they realize? That this that I've been given is what? This that I've been given is something which is a blessing from the Lord. Shukr is the first thing they do. They go in sujood. The greatest leader, attribute number one is what? You go into prostration, thank God, thanking God for that position. Because you'll find some people, as soon as they're elected to become leader, you know, this is all me, everyone. I'm the one who done this. And you know what? I had to work hard. Why is sujood so wonderful? Because it lowers you to, in reality, a position of humility. That, you know, I've got this leadership. It wouldn't have come without my Lord's grace. I've been tested now with this. Nabi Sulaiman admits that this leadership is a test. First thing with any leader is to recognize that this leadership could be your test. Don't worry about pleasing the community. Worry about pleasing the Lord. When he said that this leadership is to test me whether I'm grateful or I'm ungrateful, this is something huge. Because he's telling every future leader of every community, he's making it clear to them that the first thing you do is recognize as a test. But also, the Quran wanted to show that it's also a grace from God. When you do become a leader, it's a wonderful grace. In Surah 25 of the Quran, verse number 74, God mentions that leadership is a grace that is given by him. When we see this verse, what does it say? وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا And what? وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَاجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا And make us for the pious ones their imam. Ya Allah, if it wasn't for your grace, I would never be a leader for the muttaqeen of my community. It's your grace. But I ask you, وَاجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ Imama, Ya Allah, I'm asking you, sometimes when you want to become a leader, ask your Lord for that position, because it's from the grace of your Lord that you get that position. Next attribute of a leader is to recognize whatever the community call you, you're still just a servant of Allah. The community calls you chief executive, CEO, president, chairman. We love these titles, don't we? Make sure you write chairman, please. And if you can engrave it in gold and put it in front of me. Make sure you write president. Write president next to my name. Write CEO, COO, C-O, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. There's so many of these, I lose track of what they mean. The greatest leaders are the ones who the first thing they recognized is, you know what, I remain, whether a leader or not, a servant of God. Where do we find this? Nabi Isa alayhi salam, the moment he is born. Jesus alayhi salam, the moment he is born, God has appointed him. But look what he says the moment he's born. Surah 19, verse number 30. In Surah 19, verse number 30, Nabi Isa alayhi salam, when you know the children of Israel were saying to his mom, how could you have a child? How could you have committed adultery? How dare you? This is not what we expected of you. What did God ask her to do? He asked her to fast until eventually she would point towards Isa alayhi salam. Prophet Jesus' first words, the depth of the Quran in describing them cannot be found in any other text. And in these first words, what does he begin with? What's the first thing that Prophet Jesus says in this earth? What's the first line that Prophet Jesus alayhi salam says? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Qala inni Abdullah. I am president of Allah's community. No. I am the chairman of Jerusalem. No. I am, for example, chief executive commander of operations of Palestine. No. Qala inni Abdullah. I am a servant of Allah, whatever leadership I reach. Atani al-kitaba wa ja'alani nabiyya. Why didn't he begin by saying, Qala, for example, I am the Nabi of Allah. Why does he begin, Qala inni Abdullah? Because another wonderful attribute of any leader is that the first thing they say when they become a leader is, I'm here to serve you. Not easy. Because there are some, we say it in our Iraqi community a lot, we love to say, أنا بخدمتك. أنا بخدمتك. أنا بخدمتك. I'm at your service. I'm at your service. And you'll find people, when they say this, some of them mean it sincerely. That I really am at your service. That when I've become your leader, don't call me leader. Don't call me Sayyid al-Ra'is. Call me Abdullah. قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ آتَانِيَ الْكِتَابَ وَجَعَلَنِي نَبِيًّا And that's why in tashahud, when we remember our holy prophet, peace be upon him and his family, every day in salah, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَ But leadership was his rasala. He's a rasul. The Prophet Muhammad is known as the messenger of God. Not when we remember him. Because to him, higher than being a messenger was that he was called a servant by Allah. The biggest problem is when you come into power and you're like, you know what, I know more than everyone here. And I've got every right to lead you guys. Why should anyone else lead? The difference with the prophets of God in the Quran, it was like, whatever title you guys give us, even God gave me the title of Rasul, but the title of Abd is so much higher. And you know why that was a strike in Arabia? Because in Arabia, the Abd, what was he? Slave. The Abd was a slave. Until today, some Arabs, when they refer to their servants, they'll say Abid. That's the Abid, or he's one of their slaves. Islam turned it around. The greatest honor is to be the Abd. The greatest honor is to be the Abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Musa alayhi salam says, I walked past someone on my way to talking to the Lord. He said to me, Moses, where are you heading? He said, I'm going to have an interaction with my Lord when the Wahi would come. He said to him, Moses, do you mind asking your Lord if he forgives me of the sins that I've committed? He said to him, no problem at all. I'll go and do that. Moses went. He said, I came back. I went past the person. The person said, Moses, did you speak to your Lord? He said, yes. He said, what did your Lord say? He said, my Lord said, tell my servant. He said, stop there. Moses said, don't you want to know? He said, no. He said, why? He said, the very fact that my Lord saw me as his abd is enough for me. Whether he's forgiven me or not, the very fact that he's seen me as his servant is a huge honor. The next sign, therefore, the first was what? Leadership is a test from God. Leadership is a test in our lives. Number two, but it's also grace. Number three, what is it? That when you become a leader, the first thing you should say is, I am a servant of Allah. The next thing is, you have to be the best example. If I'm looking after myself as a president, I'm looking after myself in the wrong ways with my own staff, or if I'm as a president doing things which are corrupt, then what type of example am I? The next attribute in the Quran was, leaders are great examples to their people. Surah 33 of the Quran, verse number 21, that the best leader is the one who is the best example. All of you at home know this ayah, but this ayah was fundamental in understanding the leadership of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. You have for you in the apostle of God, in the prophet of God, in the messenger of God, the best example of conduct. لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. For those who hope in God, they have hope in the Lord and in the day of judgment and remember God much. Who is the best example to them? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. You think the Holy Prophet would have achieved success if he himself as a leader wasn't practicing what he's preaching? It was the fact that he became an example for his followers. Anything he would say, he would be the one to act. Do you agree with me that the best leaders are the ones who practice what they preach? Everyone agrees that they're the best examples. Yes. So when the Prophet would tell people, for example, you know what, forgive others when they wrong you, he'd have to practice that. Do you agree? Or when the Prophet would say to people, make 70 excuses before you accuse someone, wouldn't he have to do it? Or the Prophet, when he'd say, be soft-hearted to others as a leader. These are all leadership traits. A great leader is forgiving. Do you agree? A great leader has got a soft heart. Do you agree? A great leader makes excuses for people when they make mistakes. A great leader would combine all of these. Do we agree? Imagine he combines all of them on one particular afternoon. We said he's the best example. That means everything he practices as a leader, everything he preaches, he has to practice. One afternoon, all of these attributes of a leader, a great leader, forgiving, soft heart, not hard-hearted, and willing to give people a second chance. Always the best leaders you'll find are the ones who say, listen, it happens. You know, it kills me to mention him on television, and probably I might get a fatwa against me for saying this, but there's no doubt what Sir Alex Ferguson achieved at United in that period. I know Mustafa Mas'ud has just done a salawat, you know, in honor. I have another term that I could use opposite to salawat. But there's no doubt that what Ferguson achieved at United wasn't only because he had great players. It's because he was willing to forgive the ones who were trouble. Alex Ferguson was asked to give a lecture at Harvard University on leadership. It's not a joke when you can run a multi-million pound industry or organization and give them success year after year. Because the poor guys at the moment, they're really feeling it. They don't know what success means anymore. So all that time, they were having amazing success because they had a leader who was ready to forgive the mistakes of those around him. Soft-hearted. New people were not infallible. And he did this in particular with a couple of players. Notably one, Eric Cantona, who famously had a kung fu kick at Selhurst Park. I know some of our viewers in maybe America are looking at me thinking, are these verses or what? Because I'm not understanding. But for those of you who know your football, a famous kung fu kick Eric Cantona had, where everybody told Ferguson to get rid of him. Ferguson's the only one remained loyal to him. Look at the leadership. He could have given in. Baba, get rid of him. Baba, look at what he's done. He's ruined our... Wait, give it time. He's done a lot of good. This one time may have been a bad day for him. The famous Roy Keane, now a famous football pundit, how many times he received red cards? There was a period they were causing him big trouble because they were... Not that I don't think Ferguson minded some of the trouble they were causing. But in particular, when this happened, study Ferguson's leadership and the lecture he gives at Harvard. I honestly feel like I've broken my fast by saying all of these things. You know, this is very difficult for me. But the reality is that, you know, when I see his club in decline and not winning things at all, I understand even more how important his leadership was. Someone says, how does that relate to the Prophet? The day of Uhud was a messed up day. It was a messed up day. At Badr, it was an annihilation of the opposition. Annihilation. Imam Amir al-Mu'min alayhi salam and Sayyid al-Shuhada Hamza, they were destructive that day. Ali ibn Abi Talib was just on a different league at Badr. And they go into Uhud and the Prophet, peace be upon his family, has told them something very clearly. He's like, listen, don't let our confidence overtake us. Listen to the leadership, you know, because a leader gives this rousing speech, doesn't he? It's orator. He says, don't let the confidence overtake us. I'm going to be on the mountain. Imam Ali, alayhi salam, as well as Hamza, alayhi salam, Mus'ab bin Umar, others are going to be at the front. Even if we're winning, those of you with me on the mountain, don't leave the flank, because Khalid ibn al-Walid on that side of the opposition that day will come round. A couple of things happened. Number one, Mus'ab ibn al-Umar got killed. He looked like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the rumor went round, in the middle of the battle, Rasulullah has died. The Quran would say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wa ma Muhammadun illa Rasul, qad khalat min qablihi ar-Rasul. Muhammad is but a messenger, messengers have come before him. Afa'in mata aw qutilan, qalabtum ala aqabikum. If he dies, or rather he is killed, you turn your back, you turn back on your heels. Khalid ibn Walid and others came around the mountain to attack the Prophet. I think a nemesis in the life of Khalid ibn Walid is Ali ibn Abi Talib. I can prove this in a thousand ways if you want. Even some of our non-Shia brothers tried to say Ghadir's man kuntu mawla was in reply to Khalid and others who were envious of Imam Ali alayhi salam. But that day the Prophet lost his uncle Hamza. And he lost good companions. 70 died on that day. And he saw a lot of these people who were meant to be loyal to him. Where'd they go? Run. On this verse, it was in Qalabtum ala aqabikum. On Hunain, it's Wallaytum mudbirin. There's a major test of a leader at this moment. Do you open any door of forgiveness for them? He's let the club down. We were all meant to be victorious in this game. This is our cup final. This is our Super Bowl. This is our Ashes, or this is our World Cup. It's a huge moment. In the Quran, you want to see a wonderful example of a prophet who was an example of what he preached, who was at one moment forgiving, soft-hearted, and recognized the best leaders Don't strike someone off for one mistake. Surah 3, verse 1, 5, 9. Everybody please at home. This one verse in the Quran, if I was to stay on it for one show only, will be sufficient for me in terms of the leadership of the Prophet, peace be upon him and his family. Surah 3, verse 159, the Quran says, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. It's a mercy from Allah that you were lenient with them. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا. If you were severe, غَلِيضَ الْقَلْبِ, or hard-hearted, لَمْ فَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ, they would have all left your way. Subhanallah. Look at the leadership. If you were severe with them, they made a mistake in your community, you as a leader. That's it. One mistake, I'll never forgive this person. Never. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا, if you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, if you were severe, غَلِيضَ الْقَلْبِ, hard-hearted. Ferguson could have been hard-hearted at that moment. There are many great managers of sport clubs. They always had a bad boy in their team. But that bad boy eventually was the reason for a lot of their success. In the Quran here, Allah describes the leader. Never too severe, never hard-hearted. Maybe something's wrong at home. Maybe there's pressure from work. Maybe there's someone who's hurt them. Maybe there's childhood memories that have come back to hurt them. God then completes it for him by saying, فَعْفُ عَنْهُمْ. What should you do? Forgive them. وَغْفِرْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ. Seek pardon for them. Allah, these people have just let me all down. You seek pardon for them. You seek pardon. You have to go to the Football Association and campaign for him? Go. Seek pardon for them. And even further than that, look at the next slide of a great leader. What's the next attribute of a great leader? Always consults. وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي amr, and consult them in their affairs. I'm looking at this verse, I'm like, Ya Rasulullah. In one ayah, you've taught me the whole meaning of leadership. In many countries in the world today, one mistake another country makes, let's start war. Do you see it? Is there a lot of forgiveness between countries in the world today? I hate them, they hate me. I can't stand you, I can't stand them. When are we going to bomb each other? When are we going to fight each other? The Prophet Muhammad here looks at his own, who he feels have let him down, where he's lost family members. He shows that I won't be severe. I won't be hard-hearted. I'll seek forgiveness for them. And not just that. Come here. You know that afternoon what he said? Come here. What do you think we should do next? When they saw him like this, what were they saying? They're like, we can't believe this man. Because you know, it's reverse psychology, isn't it? You've let me down and you think that I'm just going to let you go? No, I'm an example to you. Come here, let's discuss. Give you a bit of confidence. You're like, you know what, Gaffer? I'm never going to let you down again. Because a manager, when he calls you in and says, so you want to play the next game? There are some football managers, they're known for one thing. That player's had a crazy, awful match. They play him the next game. Everyone's like, why? He was awful in the previous game. You know what? I want to show a vote of confidence. A great leader displays what? A vote of confidence. He could have said to all of them, get out of my face. My uncle died because of all you guys. I was left alone on the mountain in Uhud because of all you guys. I've got parts of me which have been injured because of all you guys. No, he turns it around completely. Consult them. Another attribute of leadership, therefore, is what? Consultation. Another attribute of leadership. Make sure you remove old hate that exists. I become a leader of my community, and I know that that clique and that clique don't talk to each other. Do I say, Baba, let's not get involved? They've been fighting for so long, leave them. Or do I say, you know what, bring them together. Let's sort this out once and for all. Surah 3, verse 103 of the Quran. A leader never allows the hate between community to continue. In Surah 3, verse 103 of the Holy Quran. وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. The Aws and the Khazraj, they used to hate each other. They became Muslim. What happened? Their rivalry began again. وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِي What? بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا. With the ni'mah of Allah, you all became what? You guys used to be enemies. What is the next attribute of leadership? Is that when a leader becomes a leader, they make sure that the hatred where they become leader doesn't continue to sizzle. Come, both of you. What's wrong? Sit down. Because if we're going to do this program properly and you two don't like each other, either we organize a peaceful reconciliation or we have to find an alternative. I cannot be the leader in Medina and you also and you Khazraj still hate each other. اعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا. Notice something interesting. He doesn't say اعتصموا, for example, on some tribal context or even in his name. Hold on to that which is higher between both of you. حبل الله المتين. Hold on to, for example, the Quran. واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا. Hold on to my sunnah. Don't hold on to what Aus used to do or what Khazraj used to do. So when I see two people in my community or in my business hating each other, I'm listen, forget what you two think, forget what your countries think. The principles of this particular organization is what you're here to serve. Therefore, another attribute of leadership is what? When there is hate in the community, you make sure that that hate doesn't sizzle over. Another attribute, don't be someone who nepotism engulfs their leadership and their decisions. How many times do you find countries where he puts his son in a government position and his son doesn't have a clue of anything to do with that position? Nepotism destroys your leadership. Because what happens when you have to be a witness against your son or your cousin or your son-in-law on a case of justice versus injustice? You won't. Because you're like, هذا غرايبنا, he's my relative. So why'd you put him there? I ask you, did Imam Ali alayhi salam ever put Imam al-Hassan in a governorship position? Why didn't he give him Kufa? Why didn't he give him Basra? Had he put him, people would say, if Imam al-Hassan, I have a complaint against him, بعد ابنك هذا. You're not going to do anything. You're not going to be a shahid. In the Quran, Allah shows that don't fall into the trap of nepotism, because you'll reach a moment where you can't establish justice. Surah 4, verse 135. Because we all know God wants every leader to be what? To be just. Do we agree? Justice is a fundamental attribute. But how do I be just if my cousin has done something wrong? How do I be just if I put my cousin in a position where they're not worthy? Surah 4, verse 135. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kunu qawwamina bilqisti. Oh, you who believe, be of those who stand firm with justice. Someone's like, say, yeah, that's easy. I'm a leader, I'll be just. Shuhada'a lillahi. You're witnessing for God's sake. Easy. I'll be a witness for God's sake. Wello, ala anfusikum. You may have to witness against yourself. Okay, I'm a leader. I suppose once I've got to go in front of a jury and maybe witness. Awil walidaini. Even your parents, you may have to witness against them. Not just your parents. Oh, who? Wal aqrabin. Even your close relatives. Be careful you don't put your cousin in a position when there's someone more qualified. I've seen this in London. I've seen people who've been put in positions in our own communities. He can't speak English. He's guiding people how to learn English. He can't play football and he's never been to a gym. He becomes head of sports in the community. He doesn't come to the community. He's dictating how the community's vision should be. He doesn't come, but he's dictating. Why all of them? Family relations. Cousin of so-and-so, so they gave him a position. Son of so-and-so, they gave him a position. Grandson of so-and-so, they gave him a position. Beware of putting people in just because of your relatives. Because nepotism is an attribute that can destroy. Another attribute of leader in the Quran. Sit with all classes, not just the upper and the rich. A great leader sits with Yasir. A great leader sits with Mustafa. A great leader sits with the wealthiest. A great leader sits with the poorest. If you look at the Holy Prophet, peace be upon his family, Did he only sit with the rich? Some leaders will only sit with the rich. Why? Is there a stake that I can have in your business? A commission I can have? You're influential? Poor, Baba, don't bring the poor near me. I'm not interested in anything to do with them. If we have to go and open a place for them, quickly do it. Quickly, I need to get out of here. But if it's a big boy and we have to open his place, we'll stay. Dinner, after, relax. In the Quran, a great attribute of a leader is that he sits with all classes of people and acknowledges that all of them are cogs, vital in the machine and its progress. Surah 6, verse 52. Look at Surah 6, verse 52 of the Quran, my dear brothers and sisters at home. And notice how Ahlul Bayt, salawatullahu wa salamu alayhim, something special about their leadership is that they sat with the poorest, they sat with the richest, and they didn't differentiate by looking arrogantly on one on the other. The Quran says what? وَلَا تَطْرُدِ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَهُ. Don't drive away those who call upon their Lord in the morning and the evening, seeking his countenance. Because you know some of the Arabs, what they would say? Why does Muhammad sit with Bilal? Bilal, the black. And he sits with, for example, Ammar bin Yasir, faqir. He sits with Suhaib al-Rumi. He sits with Miqdah. He sits, what's he sitting with all of these? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was showing a great leader sits with everybody. You want to come and talk to me? I don't look at your bank balance or your account. I don't look at what I can gain from you. Rather, I try and serve you. Therefore, another attribute of a great leader in Islam is what? Is that that person will sit with all classes of people. How many times you hear Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, or Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam, invites people home who are of no importance in society? Because the greatest leader will not look at these people and say, poor. He'll look at them and say, a chance for me to serve Allah by serving the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another attribute of a great leader, competency for the job. Competent. Notice one particular prophet in the Quran, Surah 12, verse 55. You see a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran who highlights to you that when you want to lead over something, make sure you're competent enough for the job. There are some people who just want to become leader simply because of the prestige that comes with being called a leader. But they're not competent for the position. Habibi, if you're going to be minister of finance and you know yourself that you're not competent, how could you do it? Nabi Yusuf, Surah 12, verse 55, Joseph alayhi salam, قَالَ جَعَلْنِي عَلَىٰ خَزَائِنِ الْأَرْضِ إِنِّي حَفِيظٌ عَلِيمٌ. Set me in authority. I'll be the leader, the treasurer of Egypt. I'm faithful and I know management. Because another attribute of a great leader, according to the Quran, you're competent for the job that you're going to do. The biggest injustice is you take a position in the community which you have no clue about. How many countries do you know where there's people who are in positions, I'm telling you, he has no clue about? Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, notice he asks for this job, but he makes it clear. قَالَ جَعَلْنِي عَلَىٰ خَزَائِنِ الْأَرْضِ إِنِّي حَفِيظٌ عَلِيمٌ. I am somebody who has the ability for the management of this particular job. So you found here that Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, what does he show us? Competency of the utmost importance. Another one, which is what? Stay humble. You'll be successful as a leader. Don't you sometimes become really, really humbled when a big leader talks to you like you're his best friend? Honestly, I remember, may Allah bless the soul of Sayyid Majid al-Khoi, the son of Ayatollah Khoi, who was the imam of the Khoi mosque when we were all growing up. He was only 30 years old or so. And we were, say, for example, at the time, 11, 12. He talked to us. How are you, Sayyidina? But Sayyidina, I'm 11 years old. True. I'm 11 years old. You're telling me Sayyidina? There are people who meet me today who will still call me Sayyid, not Sayyidina. Here I've got the imam of a mosque. So humble that if he saw you, young or old, he stands up. Isn't that true? Ask anyone from my generation. Young or old, he'll stand up. This attribute of remaining humble as a leader is not easy. What did we say at the beginning? Nabi Sulaiman said, this is either a position, ashkur or akfur. Do you agree? But to stay humble, I saw one wonderful example of it in the Quran. Actually, in the same story, a male leader and a female leader, both of them so humble. Which story in the Quran do you have male leader and female? Because sometimes we only focus on male leaders. Sulaiman and Balqis. Both of them were leaders. Do we agree? Both of them were leaders. But you look at both of them in the Quran, there's a humility about their leadership. When you look at Nabi Sulaiman, look at Nabi Sulaiman, Surah 27, verse number 18. Surah 27 of the Quran, verse number 18. You look at Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam and you see the humility in his leadership. And do you know how Allah addressed the humility of Sulaiman? What's the smallest animal that we can perceive? Ant, for example, yes? I ask you, there are prophets of God who have no surahs named after them, but an ant had a surah named after it. Surah 27 of the Quran is called Surah An-Naml. Do we agree? Is there a surah called Isa? No. Is there a surah called Musa? No. Is there a surah called Lut? No. But there's a surah called what? Naml. The ant. Why Sulaiman and the ant? An example of a leader who was so humble that even if you are as small as an ant, imagine the phrase, I will still stop to talk to you. How many people are affected when Sulaiman in verse 18, حَتَّى إِذَا أَتَوْا عَلَى وَادِ النَّمْلِ قَالَتْ نَمْلَةٌ an answer to Solomon, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّمْلُ. Imagine, oh ants, ادخلوا مساكنكم, enter into your dwelling so that Sulaiman and his hosts may not crush you. But of course, Nabi Sulaiman's thinking, you think as a leader I would ever crush any creature? Because some leaders will say, I'll crush you. I'll destroy you. I'll finish you. Look at Sulaiman's reply. Sulaiman has a kingdom no leader on this earth will have. فَتَبَسَّمَ ضَاحِكًا فَتَبَسَّمَ, not just smiled. ضحك, he laughed. مِنْ قَوْلِهَا وَقَالَ رَبِّ أَوْزِعْنِ. Allah, what? Look at the beauty of the humility of Nabi Sulaiman عليه السلام. رَبِّ أَوْزِعْنِي أَنْ أَشْكُرَ نِعْمَتَكَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيَّ وَعَلَى وَالِدَيَّ وَأَنْ أَعْمَلَ صَالِحًا تَرْضَاهُ وَأَدْخِلْنِي بِرَحْمَتِكَ فِي عِبَادِكَ الصَّالِحِينَ. All she said was, hide in your houses. What he realized is, number one, what a great position I've been given. Number two, what a testing position. Number three, how great you are that all your creatures you look after, but you use people like me. So allow people like me to represent you in the best of ways. When I become a leader, I'm answerable not to the Congress or the Senate or the Parliament. There's a day of judgment I have to answer, for even an ant I cannot crush. Do you agree? An ant. Why does Islam say Sulaiman laughed when he heard about the ant? Because even an ant, a leader should never crush. How dare you then make people wait? How dare you then torture people? How then dare you define putting bombs in people's lives? When Sulaiman wouldn't even come near an ant because it's a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He picked up the ant. He says to it, ant. The ant says to Sulaiman, Sulaiman, who's greater, me or you? Sulaiman said, you say. She said, I am. He said, how? He said to her, how are you greater than me? She said, I'm standing on the palm of a prophet. You're standing on the ground. Look where I am. I'm on the palm of a prophet of Allah. You're standing on the ground. I'm in a greater position. I'm honored to be in your palm. So therefore you found he's a male leader. Remained humble. Sulaiman, wind serves you. Doesn't matter. Sulaiman, the jinn serve you. Doesn't matter. Because when you become a big leader, everyone's your servant. Agul lek, jibli hai. Agul lek, fulan. Agul lek, fulan. Go and get this. Go. Sulaiman, alayhi salam, with all of that, makes time to hear what his people who he's leading want, be they an animal or a human. In the same story, female leaders, because many female leaders in our community have done amazing jobs. Do we agree? and you look in the Quran as an example of a female leader, you see the Queen of Sheba. The Queen of Sheba, where's her humility? Verse 32, same surah, just go to verse 32 of the same surah. Look at the way Sheba, she's a leader, but she highlights, consult with who? Oh, my chiefs, advise me in this affair. You know that I don't decide. ما كنت قاطعة أمرا حتى تشهدون. I don't decide any affair but in your view. But you're the Queen of Sheba. Why are you listening to these guys? No. Let me remain humble. Let me remain humble and not let my leadership overtake me. Another sign of a great leader. They don't just pray for their own success. They pray for the success of others. Sometimes when I become leader, Ya Allah, make me successful in my mosque. Make me successful in my business. Make me become someone who's a good leader. But I don't pray for anyone else. Imam al-Hassan's mother, Fatima al-Zahra, used to say, Al-Jar, your neighbor before yourself. Which great leader in the Quran prayed for others? Not just himself. Nabi Ibrahim, alayhi salam. Surah 14, verse number 40. Another attribute of a great leader. You pray for others. Sometimes before yourself, you pray for others. Sometimes alongside your own prayers. Surah 14, verse number 40 of the Quran. A lovely dua. I'm sure all of the viewers at home have read this dua before. But it's a dua that teaches you about why Ibrahim's leadership was so successful. رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي رَبَّنَا وَتَقَبَّلْ دُعَاء. Verse 41. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي. Oh Allah, forgive me. Tick. ولوالديه, and my parents. Tick. وللمؤمنين يوم يقوم الحساب. Allah, sign of a great leader is what? You don't just think about your own success. You don't just think about your own leadership. You think about praying for others in the community. Another sign of a great leader is what? Is that they exhibit patience as well. It's not easy. Listen, I'll put my hand up. I've been in a couple of leadership positions in my life, and to have sabr is not easy. It's a killer sometimes, because you meet all types. Sometimes you meet the best, sometimes you meet the most absurd. Sometimes you meet the most difficult. But in the Quran, Allah makes it clear that the greatest leaders are the ones who exhibit a great amount of patience with their folk, with their leaders, with their organization. Surah 32 of the Quran, verse number 24. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it clear that patience is a fundamental attribute of any great leader. In Surah 32, Surah Al-Sajda, verse number 24, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا. And we made leaders who guide by our command. لَمَّا صَبَرُوا. As they were steadfast in the calamities that they faced. When everyone around you is crying, you're like, have sabr, don't worry, just give it a bit of time. But bro, we've had haraka last week, there's only 13 people. Have sabr. But Habibi, on this television channel, there's only 15 viewers. Have sabr. But Habibi, no one's donating. Have sabr. Wa awhayna, this is a vital verse. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, lamma sabaru. They were leaders for us who remain patient in a calamitous moment. Because it's easy to give up, isn't it? But great leaders always say to you, wait, wait. And you're like, bro, come on, what do you mean wait? Nothing's happening. Wait, just sit down. Have sabr. A great leader never gives in. And another sign of a great leader, they always have time for their development of their spirituality. Because you can get so bogged into organizing things, you forget your own religiosity. I've seen many people who are great leaders when they organize, for example, gatherings in the mosques. But they forget their own spirituality. Because they never sit in lectures anymore. Sayyidina, I'm a khadim of Imam al-Hassan alayhi salam. That means I've got to be outside cooking. No problem, brother. Cook. Following year, come and sit in the lecture. But because they're not used to it, they can't sit in lectures. They don't know how to. Because a true leader would have made time for their spirituality. If you look in Surah 21, verse 73, all of us need space as leaders where we need alone time with God. Do you agree? We need alone time with God. In Surah 21, verse 73, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes that clear. وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةً. Subhanallah, how many ayahs have I said with the word imam and still no one believes imam is in the Quran? وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا. We made them leaders guiding by our command. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِمْ فِعْلَ الْخَيْرَةِ. MashaAllah, we revealed unto them doing good deeds. MashaAllah, khadim, 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 khadim. But then wait, وَإِقَامَ الصَّلَاةِ. Uh-oh, problem. What if I'm a khadim of Ahl al-Bayt? I don't pray. Yeah, but Sayyidina, I did latum. You know, I've been doing latum for 3.5 hours in a row, Sayyidina. Sayyidina, I cooked. I was doing the niyaz outside. No, hold on, hold on. وَجَعَلْنَاهُمَ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِمْ فِعْلَ الْخَيْرَاتِ. Okay, فِعْلَ الْخَيْرَاتِ, mashaAllah. وَإِقَامَ الصَّلَاةِ. And to establish salah. And what else? Wa ita az-zakat. And be the ones who give charity as well. Wa kanu lana abidin. Unto us they did worship. So therefore, a great leader never forgets their alone time with Allah in salah and doesn't just ask for donations, they also give donations. There are many leaders in our communities who are good at asking, but they don't give back. They never donate, but they ask for donations. Here it says, وَجَعَلْنَاهُمَ أَمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرٍ وَأَوْحَيْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ فِعْلَ الْخَيْرَاتِ. And then what? إِقَامَ الصَّلَاةِ, إِيْتَاءَ الزَّكَاةِ. That they also establish salah, and they also are of those who give zakat. Final attribute of a great leader. We've mentioned lots of things. Competency. Beware of nepotism. Stay humble. Stay patient. Forgive. Consult. Look how wonderful the Quran is as a manifesto for leadership. But the last sign, you always make time for family as well. Because sometimes when you're so bogged down in leadership, you forget to make time for your family. Where's Imam al-Hasan in the Quran? Whenever his grandfather made time for his family, an ayah was revealed in the Quran. In one ayah, when his grandfather made time, even though he was the biggest leader, he made time. Where's Fatima? Where's Ali? Where's the young Hassan? Where's the young Hussein? Allah revealed Surah 33. Verse number 33 of the Holy Quran, which all the viewers at home I know have memorized, when the ayah said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. The famous incident of the Kisa, a great leader does not forget his daughter, does not forget his son-in-law, does not forget his grandsons. Always there's time made in their week that I don't have to just serve community, no time for family. Completely with family, no spirituality. Look at the combinations of leadership in the Quran. That same great leader with his family, he was with them under the mantle. On another occasion with his family, that when the religion needed to be represented, he said, all my family, come with me. Surah 3 of the Quran, verse number 59. Again, the young Imam al-Hasan with his grandfather, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Surah 3, verse 161 of the Quran. You see the famous incident of Mubahala. And you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Surah 3, verse 61. Of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the verse of Mubahala, فَمَنْ حَاجَّكَ فِيهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَكَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ فَقُلْ تَعَالُوا نَدْعُوا أَبْنَاءَنَا وَأَبْنَاءَكُمْ وَنِسَاءَنَا وَنِسَاءَكُمْ وَأَنفُسَنَا وَأَنفُسَكُمْ ثُمَّ نَبْتَهِلْ فَنَجْعَلْ لَعْنَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْكَاذِبِينَ. Therefore you found that in the Quran, the Prophet, peace be upon him, his family, spiritual life, he made time for. Family life, he made time for. Community life, he made time for. In terms of competency, there was none as competent as Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam for leadership. In terms of spirituality, none like him. In terms of patience, none like him. In terms of consultation, there were none like him. In terms of recognizing that imamah was a test, none like him. In terms of recognizing that imamah was also a grace from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there was none like him. Look no further than a'immat ahlul bayt, salawatullah wa salamu alayhim, when you want to see leadership, and none more so than their grandfather Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Thank you all so much. Congratulations on the wilad of Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam. We'll see you all tomorrow with another episode of In the Quran. Hey, hey, hey.